For all the ladies that get a little, maybe hopefully, prayerfully, a little bit of quiet rest today, not your normal motherly duties, make some noise in the building for Mother's Day. Come on, make some noise for your mom, your grandma, your auntie, anybody who is a mom in some sense. There are people in this room who are mothers because they've given birth, natural birth to a child. There are mothers in this room that you are mothers because you've given birth spiritually to children. You have spiritual children, people that you have mentored and brought along the way. And so we celebrate all the moms in the building. I'm so excited, as Pastor Jonathan said. I'm not just a guest. I'm family here. This is our church home. I'm so glad that my wife and the mother of our children is right here with me on the front row, holding one of the kids, as usual, on the job, doing your thing. Love you, babe. Happy Mother's Day to you. You do it with such grace, and I'm so excited to be married to you. Every day just keeps getting better. Praise the Lord. I'm excited because, as I'm told, the beginning of this series last week, Pastor Danny talked to us as a church about the importance of rest, the Sabbath, and how Sabbath isn't something that we put a date or a time or even a day on. Sabbath is not just a day. Sabbath is actually, it's something we do. It's a verb. We Sabbath. And we looked at even that original language and how that becomes more clear to us is that we need to take time to rest. I need a lot of moms today to say amen. We need rest. We need time to be restored as God leads us by those still waters. And so today, I'm going to continue in this same vein of doing less but being more. And today, instead of talking just about rest, we're going to talk about silence. And so for all the moms, it's your favorite game to play with your kids is the quiet game. Today, you're going to be blessed because we're going to talk for a little bit about getting quiet and getting in the silence. And maybe, perchance, if we would begin to do that more in our lives as not just moms, but as dads and as husbands and wives, as co-workers and bosses and understudies and employees and pastors and evangelists. Amen. If we could learn how to just hear when there's not so much noise, I believe God would take us into a strong season. Somebody say amen. So let's just look at this verse that I believe was covered last week, but I want to bring it to our attention once again because it speaks to this silence. It says in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. Now just remember, Mom, since we're talking about silence today, that means we're giving you full permission all day today to just say, shh, quiet please. Y'all heard the sermon. You heard the preacher. Bring it down a few notches, okay? Bring it down. Man, we love silence, but it's funny to me how oftentimes we get caught up in the hustle, the bustle, the coming and the going, the soccer practices and the school and the church and this and that and this night and this thing that sometimes we get so full from so much, not just audible noise, but from the amount of noise in our lives that we forget what's most important. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul." So my soul gets restored when, watch verse 2, when I lie down in green pasture and when I get beside waters, not just any waters, but quiet waters. That's what still waters are, solitude and silence. Two very important things as we walk with God. We can see this from the life of Jesus. Jesus would oftentimes withdraw from the crowds, get away from the people so that he could have what? So that he could have solitude and silence. What's the difference? Solitude is about being alone. Silence is about being quiet. See, it's one thing. See, a lot of us in this room are probably really good at getting alone. All the introverts said, they're like, amen. I found that, you know, I feel at times like I'm an introverted extrovert. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I will go to the party with all of the people from church, and I will celebrate, and I will have a great time at the convention and at the conference, all these places where lots of people come together, crowds at sporting events and entertainment and even movies. All these crowds are there. I'll do that. I'll have a great time. But secretly, I'm not recharged by that. I'm recharged by getting alone and getting in a solitary place and a silent place. That's where I get restored. That's why I love the game of golf. Ooh, I just felt the Holy Ghost. I love golf because I can just get away and get out into the open fields. And David talked about golf in the Psalms when he talked about getting in wide open spaces and green pastures. It was there the whole time. You missed it. I like getting alone in my house and working on little projects. This week I was working on something in the garage and I just got alone. That's sometimes what husbands and fathers need to do, Mom. We just got to get alone and just mess with something, tinker with something, because there's something that draws us to a quiet place. Whether we're introverted or extroverted, we all feel that. We wrestle with that every day. But for some of us, silence is awkward. What is it about like silence that makes some of us feel uncomfortable? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes if it gets real quiet in a conversation of many people, everybody starts looking around and it gets what we call awkward, because silence for many of us makes us uncomfortable because we've been so full of noise and sound from all over the place. Everywhere we look, every device we pick up, from the iPhone to the iPad to the Apple Watch to the AirPods to the Hulu and Netflix binges, all this noise is around me. Everywhere I look, there's notifications and there's things in my inbox and there's things to reply to. There's all these flags and all these things trying to get my attention. Hear me. With all of this noise, we have to find a way that we can tune out and tune in at the same time. See, today in my generation, we could just get a phone and we got an app and we have access to any sound, any music, any kind of video or any kind of entertainment. It's boom, at the palm of our hands, we just know we can get it. We can get whatever sound we want at the touch of a button. Just ask Siri or ask Alexa, one of them can handle it for you. Because we are full, we are really consumed at times, I'm afraid, sometimes to the point to where we are intoxicated by all the noise around us. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this about, you know, my generation has an app, but the generation that preceded my generation, I'm talking like I'm really young here, is we had this thing called an FM radio. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Where you actually had to turn the dial to find the frequency of whatever radio station you wanted to listen to get that sound, that noise. You had to find the frequency. And you remember that stuff that's in between all the stations that we call static, that shh, it's white noise. Some of us enjoy that sound, even though it's just a static sound. Some of us, we find soothing in that. Some of us, where are my sound machine people? I know you in here. You got a sound machine. You turn it on. Some of you like the white noise, just the shh. For some of you like to have an ocean. For some of you like to have birds singing in the background. That one I will never understand in my life. But we like to have noise so that we can rest and go to sleep. Noise, sounds. This white noise, though, on an FM radio is really, if you look at it and you study it, you'll understand that this white noise is actually thousands of noises coming through all at the same time. White noise is 20 hertz all the way up to 20,000 hertz, and that's the sounds, the different levels and various functions of sound that we're hearing, about 20,000 all at the same time. So it just sounds like 20,000 sounds all at the same time. But if we could turn that dial and lock in to a frequency that's already there, maybe we just weren't in the right position. If we can get that dial of our life, our prayer life, our thought life, our schedule, our intentionality, we can find a place where we don't just hear all the noise, but we hear the one voice that matters most. Who am I talking to this morning? Sometimes I don't just want to hear all the noise and hear all the voices, the thousands of things that are trying to get my attention. I want to hear what's most important. And so just like that dial on an FM radio today, I want to help us find the frequency. I want to talk for a few minutes about finding the frequency. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. If you're writing down a title, just write down finding the frequency. 1 Kings 19, it says in verse 11, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great wind, a strong wind, tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly, here it is, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah?" I don't know if you caught this, But Elijah's at a place in his life where he's stressed out, he's worried, he's listening to all the noise from the external, from the outside, the noise of his own failure, the noise of his fear, the noise of what if, the noise of what have I done wrong, the noise of what could I have done better. And as he's in the midst of all of this, he doesn't even know if he can go on anymore. He's at a place in his life where he's ready to throw in the towel, but then God speaks to him while he's on this mountain. He hears something, but when God spoke to him, God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the winds. God wasn't in the fire. God was in this still, small voice. Now, there's been a lot of talk over the years, really, over the years about what this still, small voice really is. Like people who are way smarter than me, people with more letters after their name or before their name than me, people who have studied the Bible intensively. There's a lot of argument and a lot of discussion about what a still small voice here for Elijah actually was. Like was it something he actually heard, or was it just the absolute silence that he heard? See, I found out that in the original language where it says in that scripture when God gets his attention through the silence, that this still small voice in the Hebrew, you can go and look, it actually doesn't refer to a small audible sound. It actually refers to a sound that was absolute silence. Absolute sheer silence. That's when he heard the Lord. With all of the noise in our lives, is there a way, like this man, that we can find the frequency of how God speaks to us and how God restores our soul, how God gives us the answers for the questions that we don't even have yet? How can we find this place? Oftentimes in many of my generation, especially when having the opportunity to ask questions to Christian leaders, to pastors, to people who preach for a living, to people who are evangelists, to discipleship pastors. A lot of times young people, teenagers especially, will ask, well, you say you heard the Lord say, or you said God spoke this to you. How did it sound? What was it like? How do you know? Because I feel like no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I try, I just cannot hear the voice of God. And just like in the game of golf, sometimes it's the trying that gets in the way. Golf's wanting to preach today. It's sunny outside, but it's Mother's Day. Not a chance. Okay. Sometimes it's the trying that gets in the way. What if you've been trying so hard to hear a God that was speaking the whole time? You just weren't tuned in. Maybe we're asking God, what is it that you're saying to me? While God is looking at us, like, why aren't you listening to me? Because I tried to get your attention through that person that encouraged you today. I tried to get your attention when you were listening to a song and it was the same words as the scripture I gave you in your quiet time when you woke up this morning, and it was there to give you a sign, a confirmation of what it is you've been hoping that I would help you through, but you never took enough time out of your schedule to ask me a question for me to give you an answer. Oh, think about the time you have spent. I'll be the first to raise my hand. How much time we have spent worrying about our situation, talking about our problem, venting about our struggle. And now think about how much time you have spent asking God and listening to what he would say about it. Isn't that a convicting question? Like God, looking back over, let's just take the last 7 days. How much time have I taken to just say, Lord, here's what I'm dealing with. Here's what I'm going through. What am I supposed to say, Lord? How am I going to handle this situation? Because I feel unqualified. I feel not confident at all about this. I feel like I'm going to mess up. I feel like there's no answers here. When's the last time we just blocked it all out to hear what he might have to say to us? I'm a big believer that my relationship with God is spiritual, so that I don't just relate to God through audible sounds and feelings. No, I relate to God in my spirit. So in my spirit, if I ask God a question, then in my spirit, I shall receive an answer. And if I walk that way and live that way, I'm constantly searching for the message. So how does God speak? Let me say it this way, in a multiplicity of ways. God speaks to me in the silence. God speaks to me when I watch movies. God speaks to me when I'm reading books. God speaks to me when someone says something to me. There is a number that keeps showing up in my life and Heather's life all the time. We just keep seeing the same number. So what have we been doing for the last several years? We've been asking the question, why does this number keep showing up? What does this mean? Does it mean we're supposed to do this? Does it mean we're supposed to have? And you know what I found? We don't know yet, but we know one thing. It's bringing us closer to God.
Because we're asking the question. If you want to hear God speak, I know this sounds really elementary here, but if you want to hear him speak, ask him questions. God, where am I supposed to turn now? God, what am I supposed to do? Oftentimes what we think are tough questions are easy answers. Because when I ask him, I'm reminded of a scripture that already gave me the answer anyway. So if you want to hear God more clearly, I encourage you to begin to read the book. Take time out of your schedule to read the book and see what it is that God is saying. Not in the earthquakes, not in the winds, not in the fires, not in all the noise, but in the absolute silence. That's where God was in the story. You know, studies have shown that 183 million people in our world are exposed regularly to sounds that are labeled as excessive by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. So many people in our world are constantly exposed to sound that is more than it should be, by noise that is at a volume higher than where it should be. And as I alluded to earlier, for many of us in this room, we are exposed to a lot of noise, not just noise at a loud, audible volume level, but noise at a really large amount volume level. It's not so much how loud it is, it's how many things are coming at the same time, and all of a sudden, before we know it, all we hear is shh, and there's nothing there to give us the message that we need because we're consumed by all the sounds and the voices from the outside. The amount of noise. I want you to listen. I just have three scriptures. They're not even on the screen. I wrote them down. I want you to hear these scriptures because I think it speaks to us. Deuteronomy 27:9 says, "Then Moses and the priests who are the Levites said to all Israel, 'Be silent, O Israel, and listen.'" Psalm 4:4, the psalmist writes, "Search your hearts and be silent." In Habakkuk 2:20, it says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Now, I thought we were supposed to cry out or the rocks would cry out. This is where the mature believers in the room know there is a time to praise and there is a time to open up your mouth and let your praise known. But there is a time when you walk with God where he just wants you to be silent before him and hear what it is that he would say to you. It seems like God is into the silence. The more I look at the scripture, the more I'm convinced that he is about this silence that Jesus would so often pursue even himself. And I want to give you two things about this silence. The first thing is this, is that we must seek the silence. If you want to take notes, if you're a note taker, write that one down. We must seek the silence. This is exactly what Jesus would do. Look with me in Mark 1, verses 35, and we'll look at verses 30, 35 through 37. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." He knew that if he really wanted solitude and silence, he had to go seek it. See, you have to understand that the reason why he got up and left was because there were masses of people following him, and there were lots of people that were trying to continually get to him, and he had been working really hard. Let's go a little bit further. I want you to see what I'm talking about. Mark 1, 36 through 37, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." So have you found the answer yet to why Jesus was trying to get away? They say everyone is looking for you. Soon enough, he knew after a long day of ministering, and though he was fully God, he was also fully human and needed a Sabbath. He needed to rest. Everyone's looking for you. Moms, soon enough, everyone is looking for you. The kids are looking for you. The spouse is looking for you. The dog and the cat is looking for you. The police are looking for you. Just kidding. I hope. Everyone, it seems like, needs everything from you. What do you do when you feel like everyone needs everything from you? You know just as well as anybody that you are a limited resource. Or do you? Do you take time to restore so that you can resource? Come on, say that. Say restore. So I can get it out of me. Say it that way. Say restore. So I can get it out of me. Restore, because if I don't take in, I can't really give out effectively. And what happens to a lot of people, because they can't get alone and restore so they can resource, what happens is you become a starving baker, feeding everybody around you but never taking in something for yourself. And it will only last so long before you have to just recalibrate and say, "Lord, restore my soul. I want that energy. I want that vitality again because I just don't feel like I'm serving with the same passion, Lord, as that I did maybe just a few short years ago. So we have to seek the silence. Because here's the thing, the silence very rarely will seek you. Noise will seek you. Like Jesus, the crowds, the people who need something from you, they will seek you. You have to seek the silence to be in a place. And this is what I love, honestly, about Heather so much, is because I've been challenged, because there have been many mornings where I am waking up or maybe just peeking through the bedroom door and she's already up with her Bible, with her journal, with her music and her Jesus. And she's just getting restored because she knows she's going to have to resource. And moms, it's important that you find it. I'm just talking to the moms because it's Mother's Day for just a moment. It's important that you find time to restore so that you can resource, so that you can restore so that you can get it out of you. If there's nothing to give, there's nothing to give. You've got to have some time to be restored. I think there are really natural rhythms for this, and the only reason why I know this is because we're very busy. We're very busy in the ministry. We're busy with business. We're busy with family, and many of you can relate to that in so many ways and more ways of just the busyness of life, and it's important that you find the rhythm of your schedule, the rhythm of your day. Different times where I've had different, rhythms in my schedule, I have found I have had to create different rhythms in my time with God. Because what worked in one season didn't work in another. What worked in one season, but let's just be real, before kids, doesn't work in the same season with kids. Because before kids, you could do it, you could take time to get quiet whenever you wanted. Now it's a little more challenging. You might have to actually set the alarm to go off earlier than the kids get up, Mom. God bless you. That is tough, especially for those of us that stay up a little later than others. It's tough to get up. It's tough to be woken up every day. Some of you say, like, alarm clock, I just wait for the kids to come wake me up, and then I'm good. We have to find time to block it all out. So you got that? We have to seek it. I want you to also see this. We also have to seize the silence. This is good. Not just seek it. We have to seize it. There were times where Jesus would get very stern and serious about his time in a quiet place, alone, away. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, we see Jesus going on another one of these days where he was healing and he was ministering. And at the end of the day, as we see through the writing of Matthew and Luke in their Gospels, he had been doing all of this, so he requested a boat to escape the crowds of people. Once again, he's bold about it. He said, I got to go get alone. I got to get away. And then when this happens, they take him out. They're on the boat. They're on the waters. But a storm shows up. The disciples are scared, so scared, they wake Jesus up. Newsflash, if Jesus is in the boat, you don't have to be scared. But they were scared. They wake Jesus up, and I could see Jesus after a long day getting up and being a little perturbed that they woke him up. He walks over to the bow of the boat, and he just says, peace, or in our modern translation, be quiet. And he sees the silence. He said, I escaped the noise so that I would have absence of noise, so that I could rest and be restored, and so that I could get to solitude and silence. So be quiet. Sometimes you just have to get alone. If you have to go to a closet and soundproof the doors, there's got to be a place where you can get in the quiet and listen to the voice that should be speaking louder than any other voice. So there are rhythms for this. I don't know about you, but for my wife and I, we have found rhythms. For her, it's early morning before anything. For me, a lot of times, it's after she and the kids leave. She'll go take the kids to school. They're not very far away, but it's enough time for me to have my time where in the silence, I can pray out loud. I can pray how I want to. I can cry if I want to and wipe the tears before the Heather gets back. It was my time with the Lord. It wasn't about anybody else. It was just about me and him. And I found that rhythm. There was a time where my rhythm would be to get up and do everything at the house and take care of fam and all that and kiss both the kids. And then when I would get to work, I would go to a quiet place. Pastor Jonathan come to my office. It's 8:30 in the morning. And I'm not there till 9. That's because I was in a quiet place. I was there opening my Bible, letting him speak to me while all these other voices were surely waiting on me outside those doors of my quiet place. And sometimes you just got to seize it. You got to say, I want this so bad. Is it easy for you to seize the time to binge watch a show on Netflix? Help me, Jesus. Yes. And see, there is so much time to seize time. To seize time, we're good at it. But I want you to seize time for no reason than to just listen. Just listen. Seek the silence. and sees the silence. Because here's the thing about silence. There's someone there, and they're waiting for you to come and commune and fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone chooses to come in and be with me in the silence, in the secret place, let him enter. We have an open invitation to come before the throne of grace and be restored. Somebody say amen to that. So here's a great thing for you to try. Find the rhythm. I wrote down a few areas of time that maybe you can find a rhythm to be silent and get before the Lord. Maybe this week. How about early morning before the kids wake up? Also, there's the commute time. I know for some of us in the room, a commute time to and from work is a great time to turn on that worship music and just begin to pray out loud and ask God to bless our day. For some of us, it's also a time when the kids take a nap. Our kids are at the age finally now where they don't really take naps. And so I don't know what to do with my life. And so, you know, when you tell the kids to go take a nap and they won't go to sleep, just drug them. It'll be fine. Just kidding. Unless it's melatonin, then it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly okay. Sometimes you got to season and say, this is my time. Nobody's going to interrupt it. I'm going to have time for me to be restored. We have to seek it and we have to seize it. Is it possible that you have walked right by clear messages from the Lord, but you weren't able to see them or hear them because you weren't tuned in? Samuel and Eli, the story of Samuel and Eli illustrates this, I think, beautifully as we get ready to pray today in just a few short moments. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10, this is such a powerful verse, and I'll explain why in just a moment. It says, the Lord came and stood there calling as the other times. So not the first time he has spoken, but the first time that Samuel would respond the right way, because it says, then Samuel said, speak, because I'm listening. And that's when Samuel began to hear God's voice. Why is that important? Because Samuel became known as one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. The Bible says not one of his words, not one of his prophecies fell to the ground. This man was a prophet that the Lord used mightily. He heard the voice of God clearly, because it's amazing what happens when you find the frequency. When you just say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. I can hear you now. I've eliminated some other voices. I can hear you now. I've taken away other sounds. I just want to hear the sound of your purpose for my life. I need to hear the sound, Jesus, of your mercy today. I want to hear the sound of your loving kindness. Lord, I want to hear you. So I'm disconnecting from everything so that the shh gets turned to silence. And in the solitary place, when I'm all alone and all I can hear is the whisper of my King, then, Lord, I am positioned to walk in purpose like never before. Lord, far be it from me to search for you only in the storms and the earthquakes and the fires, only in the really, really high times or the really, really low times, on the mountaintops and the valleys. Oh, Lord, so many of us are drawn to you at the heights and at the lows, the valleys. But, Lord, how many of us every day, no matter how hard or how great that day may seem, Lord, do we just come to receive what it is that you have for us? Lord, every word that I speak, Lord, I want it to be filtered through what you spoke to me in the morning. Come on, this is the prayer of a hungry person who doesn't just want to hear noise, but you want to hear the voice of God. See, the more you eliminate the noise, here's what's awesome, the more clearly you begin to hear the voice, the more you begin to cut out and say, I'm not going to have this get in my way. I'm not always going to have the earbuds, the headphones. I'm not going to put on noise-canceling headphones every time I get on a plane just to cancel out other noise, using noise to cancel noise. I'm not going to spiritually turn on a sound machine of stress and fear and doubt and worry in my hobbies and my agenda and my schedule, all of this to make me feel important and that I could block out everything that's really going on in my life. Lord, help me to get away from living my life as a surface level Christian and help me to really go deeper with you. I really want to be honest with people. I want to be honest with you. I don't want to fake my way through this anymore. I need to be restored if I'm going to do that, Lord. I have to remind myself in the morning that goodness and mercy are going to follow me today. I have to remind myself early in the morning, that it's the joy of the Lord that'll be my strength. But how will I walk in truth if I don't spend time with Him? See, the Bible says this about Jesus, who, by the way, is the one who takes your prayers when you pray them and brings them before the throne room of God. When Jesus hears your prayer, He takes them to God and presents them for you on your behalf. That's why the quiet place is so special, because it's in the most silent place that you can take what is the heart of the matter. What am I saying? I'm saying you don't even have to speak it out. Sometimes the greatest prayers I've prayed, I wasn't praying in English. I was praying in the Spirit, and I was just letting groanings come out. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I need you today, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I need you today because I don't even have the words to explain it. I don't have the vocabulary or the vernacular. I just need you. Some of the strongest levels of volume of His voice in my life have been in the quietest of places, in the silent times, after I read my Bible, before I turned on the worship music, when it was just a blank canvas for Him to write a clear message and for you to receive it by faith. Because what He speaks that you believe becomes the power in your life. If He speaks you're healed, believe you're healed, then the power shows up. Moms, if He speaks joy again to do what it is you've been given to do, for everyone and everything that seems to be a loud voice, it's in the quiet place that you're empowered and that you're resourced and that you're restored to do what you're called to do. Father, I thank You for moms and dads in this room. Lord, I'm thankful for husbands and wives in this room. God, I'm thankful for sons and daughters in this room. Lord, may we find rhythms in our schedule to just be silent. Here's what I hear the Lord saying before we pray. You need to schedule a meeting. Find a time. What does a meeting require? It requires a time, a place, and a person. You're the person. So now all you have to find this week is a time and a place. Treat it like you would treat a meeting that was important to you. Because if you have not in your thinking prioritized it to that place yet, then you are already missing it. Far be it from any of us to think a haircut or a dentist appointment is more important than my meeting with God. Yet we treat those things like we couldn't miss it, like nothing could get awry in our schedule because it's on the calendar, it's on the schedule. But how do you treat your meetings with God? Are they that important? Or are they just something that you'll get around to sooner or later? Lord, help us to schedule meetings with You so that You can speak the unsearchable riches of Christ to us. Things that will help build us up, edify us, and so that, Lord, we can not just seek the silence and seize the silence, but we'll be able to share the silence. We will be able to share with other people what God is doing in our lives, and we will begin more than ever before to overcome the enemy. How? By the word of our testimony and by what it is He is speaking in us, to us, and through us. I want to take some time, we're right on schedule, to just give you a few minutes, unhindered by any other noise or any other voice. This is not just for moms, this is for everyone in the room, just to take a few minutes and just get silent. The reason why oftentimes we pastors say, bow your heads and close your eyes, is not because it's some religious act or motion that we go through. We actually want you to focus. So we bow our heads as to shut down and say nothing else is more important, not even myself, not even my thoughts. I bow my head because I am bowing to something that's greater. And then I close my eyes because I don't need to see anything but what it is You want to say. And Lord, I block out all the distraction because I don't want to hear anything that You have not said in this moment. It's all about You. I'm focused, and like a flashlight that has the light focused down to a small stream that could become as powerful as a laser, I want to focus in to experience Your power. And what You say to me, I'll believe. And what I believe will become the power of God in my life. Lord, we want to find the frequency. So for the next few minutes, just get silent before him. Maybe ask him some questions and let him speak to you today. In the silence. It'll be amazing to you how much you'll hear him when you just get quiet. Lord, we pray that psalm that you would lead us to a green pasture, a place that is full of life but is secluded from all the noise. And God, that you would also lead us beside the quiet, still waters of your presence. Oh, waters represent your spirit, Lord. Thank you that in the quiet, I am able to hear what it is that your spirit is saying. It becomes more clear. It tunes out all the static noise, all the white noise, and I'm able to hear what it is that you're saying. Help me to find the frequency. Would you pray that right where you are? Just say, Lord, help me to find the frequency. Lord, I'm going to begin to tune in. I want to hear. When at one point I thought you weren't speaking, I just realized I wasn't listening the right way. I want to hear you, Lord. The Lord's saying that when you find the frequency, you find love. When you find the frequency, you find grace. When you find the frequency, you find joy. When you find the frequency, you find mercy. When you find the frequency, you find all the things you're searching for and hoping for and praying for. When you find the frequency, you begin to believe for and you begin to see it in your life in ways never thought imaginable. Oh God, help us realize how important it is to, as Jesus did, withdraw away and be encouraged. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this room and maybe you're not as close to God as you would want to be, maybe today you realize that there really is not that communication. There really is not that relationship there. And maybe you've never even prayed a prayer to say, God, I'm going to give my life to you. And I believe Jesus died and rose again. And I believe that he saved me and he restored me spiritually so that I could walk in new life. If you've never prayed a prayer like that, then right now is the perfect opportunity, because this may be the greatest way. The first time you begin just to move the dial to tune in is when you make the decision that I'm going to go from this frequency to this frequency, because I want to listen to a new voice today. Not the voice of my past, not the voice of my present, not the voice of my relationships or my fears or failures or problems. No, I want to hear the voice of my Savior, the one who died to set me free and who I'm going to live for so that I can remain free. Oh God, I thank you for those in this room that would say, I want to pray that prayer today. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer, but you know in your heart of hearts, the Holy Spirit's just tugging on you today to pray that prayer. Or maybe you're like some that you've prayed a prayer similar to that one, but you just know you've drifted. Then this is a moment for you to make a spiritual commitment to God to say, I'm going to move the dial of my life and my schedule and my focus because I want to find the frequency, oh, where all of those things I need are. So Father, right now I pray with my brothers and sisters. And if you're in this room and you want to pray this prayer with me for the first time or the second time, or maybe for those of us that have prayed this prayer weekly for years, you just want to make it fresh all over this room. Let's say this prayer together out loud. Repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, we love you. Thank you for dying for me, for dying as me. You took my place. You paid my price. You lived a perfect life, the life I should have lived. Then you died a perfect death, a death I deserve to die. You paid the price, Lord. Now I give you my life. I commit myself to you and listening to your voice. Lead me, guide me, restore me. In Jesus' name, amen.